Loosey Goosey edition of the program. Great to be with you. Hope you're well. If you're watching on War Chant TV, make sure you like and subscribe. Thanks for watching. Thanks for liking and subscribing in advance. Certainly helps us. So pound that like button. And if you're listening on 93.3 Terrestrial Radio, outstanding. Great coverage there. Appreciate you doing that as well. Stay with us. On Twitter, it's at Jay Cameron Show. Tom, you had the unenviable task, I do believe, I just noted this, of assessing Florida State UMass for a fantasy perspective.
Yeah.
That's a toughie.
I tried overs, unders on some totals. I mean, it could go any which way. And what's frustrating, and I put this in the opening graph or two of the article, is I'm undefeated so far in this particular feature, sir. And we get the bye week when I'm on a heater. Don't like that.
Mm.
Then the next week you play UMass when who knows what the hell is going to happen. You have fewer props to go over because UMass doesn't have any players that the scouting services would put out there. It's a little bit difficult to forecast.
Okay, so I'm going to do this without having... Now, I'm going to admit to you that I did not read the fantasy FSU UMass article.
I wouldn't expect you to, yeah.
No, I didn't. That's not a derogatory comment. I'm not engaging in the actual act of betting or doing fantasy football for this game, so it didn't matter to me. But I now see what you're doing here with the game props.
Yeah, they're over-unders. This particular site that we use does over-unders. They may be sponsoring us soon, we'll see, but they do overs and unders. Now, I like doing those because it really helps you go through the exercise of telling the story of the game, as we often like to say.
Well, let's tell the story of the game right off the bat. Without even seeing what you picked, I see the first one up, and I didn't scroll down because I want to be sullied. I see that you have Jordan Travis over under 207.5 passing yards. And my knee-jerk reaction to that, and you did more delving into it, is – for me, I would take under 207 passing yards.
We are in agreement on that one. He's only gone over that number one time in his career. It was last year against Jacksonville State, mm-hmm. the game we won against Jacksonville State, mind you. And the other thing is, you know, if we hit on a couple of passes early, shot plays as we like to do, that means things are going well. You're up quick.
Means he gets out of there.
And you probably get some work for somebody else.
Yeah. Hey, let's see some Chubba Purdy, damn it. I mean, This should be that game.
Now, the argument you make for the over would be, and it's not about the game score. Let's just say that Florida State is doing some good things. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
As Jimbo once said.
Yeah.
They want to stay away from putting Jordan in any harm with the read option.
So
they
want
to keep
running
him fresh.
Him as much.
So you're throwing the ball more. But we got in trouble with that with Jacksonville State. So this is the balance you have to play. I think the safer play is play the under.
Yeah, I do too. I now see the game prop, Joshon Corbin, 92.5 rushing yards. I'm going to go under there too. What did you do?
We are in agreement. I also went under. I think this is a game where you open up the stable of backs a little bit more.
Correct.
We've heard a lot about Lawrence Toafili this week from Coach in his public availabilities. Who knows? The every once in a while guy and DJ Williams might see the field more. If this game goes the way that it should go,
yeah, you play all those other guys.
To define the line of scrimmage, you got to keep your players fresh. And Corbin hasn't hit over 90-whatever yards. What was it, 92.5?
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't hit that since the Louisville game. Typically, he's on a pitch count of 11 to 15 carries, too, as it is. The problem is he could go 1 for 80, and then you're in real trouble if he comes out for drive 2 and 3.
He may very well, but I'll take my chances, and I think they get him out of there early. They don't want him taking hits before the Clemson game because he's going to have to be a boss going into that game. So, all right, game prop you have written on Taria Wilson, Pokey Wilson, over under 46.5 receiving yards. I'm flying over with this one, Tom, in the first half.
All right, we're in agreement on this.
Okay,
three for three.
Good.
If we run our offense even a little bit, that's going to create those shot plays.
Mm-hmm.
Pokey has 3 touchdowns this season. But this is the whole article, but please, folks, every Friday, head to warchant.com for
Correct.
The Sporting Knowles feature. We're 8-0 so far this season. This is a minefield against UMass. But Pokey Wilson has 3 touchdowns this season. All of them have come from Jordan Travis. One was a shot play that went for 30 yards.
It
could have gone for 90.
Yep.
The other one was 60-plus yards on the road at Wake Forest. Yeah. I mean, if he has 5 catches in this game, he's going to fly over the number. One catch might do it. So we'll see.
Ryan writes in, I want to see 3/4 of Rod Orr is where this game needs to be. Yeah.
Yeah, and Lloyd Willis too. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Yeah, that's where that game needs to be. Take care of business early. Lock it in. Get ready to roll, man. I do think it feels like that's going to happen. I feel like from what I've heard, what we know of practices, and where this team's at in terms of understanding what they are, calling plays to that, having an identity, and then also coming off a bye week and getting healthier, I do. I think they'll be ready to play, and I think they'll take care of their responsibilities, and they'll get out to a big lead pretty quickly. And you get a lot of rest for guys.
But that's what's interesting is, it, you know, we take the game in. We talk about it on Monday. I'll do the post-game show tomorrow on War Chant TV. That'll be 10 to 15 minutes after the UMass game concludes. There'll be that second level of talking points. Should the game go the way that we need it to go? The way that if we're professional and mature about ourselves tomorrow, it's going to go. Which is, okay, when they got out, our starters, who do we like in the second wave? This used to be mandatory Florida State topic.
The best part about going to games back in the 90s, man, watching in the wave of young players that are going to obviously be the stars of tomorrow.
He may steal some snaps this year. Remember all those talking points? I remember watching Telvin Smith the first time, and he was a special teamer to begin. You're like, man, that dude is so fast. Oh, I hope he has linebacker instincts. And the answer was yes, he had plenty of linebacker instincts.
Is there a game outside of ours that you are most excited to see? Is the answer to that Pitt Clemson, or what is that? What is the game that you are most interested in seeing? I'm looking at this slate. Look, I get that it's a good matchup, but you kind of have to a little bit drag me kicking and screaming to Iowa State, Oklahoma State. I mean,
I'm interested to watch it. My brother-in-law is coming in town, and he's a secondary team as USC because he comes from Newport Beach. Newport Beach. I was trying to think.
Nice place to come from.
Right, yes, yeah. So he's a big USC guy as his number two team. So it's almost like a car wreck that I want to watch, that Notre Dame-USC game.
Yep.
I'm also really interested, and we've talked about it ad nauseum, so we don't have to go deeper into it, but I'm really interested in NC State-Miami because I want to know what is everybody else seeing that I don't.
Yeah, I'm nervous about it just because it doesn't feel like we're seeing something that we should be with that number being as low as it is. Admittedly, I would, and I will, at least the second half by the time I get home, UCLA and Oregon interest me. It should be a good game. Mm-hmm. It should be a good game. So this is a wide open year in college football where all these games, even the ones that certainly don't involve teams that are going to, you know, play in the college football playoff, matter because it's wide open right now. Just last week, obviously the number two team in the land did what we suspected they would eventually do, which is just to lose a game that Iowa typically loses. Just out of nowhere, some middling team beats them, and you're like, yep, thought that would happen, and it did. They're bad at quarterback is their problem.
What part of the Alabama game did you play? I know what you put on the card for Redemption Thursday yesterday. In your actual card, did you play the total, or did you play, meaning the full game, or you play first half?
I played first half.
Okay, I figured.
Yeah, I played first half. I think Alabama is going to roll big there. That really is about a couple of things. Where it sits in the schedule and what's happened to Tennessee from a health standpoint. And then also the fact that Alabama got the wake-up call that they did. They are looking buttoned up since then. The attention has been gotten, you know, at that point. And so, listen, the bottom line is Alabama's got to win out to play Georgia in the SEC championship game and hope to get that win and fight your way into the college football playoff despite that loss. And they could very well do that. And they're getting good play on offense for sure. More and more, they're getting consistent play at receiver. It's not really that you worry about. It was the defense before, but Anderson's playing so well right now for them. It's kind of a fun team to watch. I loathe Alabama because of, the obvious reasons. But I do think they're kind of on a mission here, and I think Tennessee's beat up, so this could get ugly. Really ugly.
Any other games in hashtag GoACC that you're interested in? Wake Forest Army? Does that pique your interest? That's a noon kick with us.
Yeah, I mean, you want to see a short game, probably that one.
BC Louisville?
Nope.
No? It doesn't teach you anything about BC?
Nope.
We kind of know what BC is at this point.
I think so. I think I know what they are, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the NC State-Miami game is dual purpose. It's number one, two future opponents coming up soon on the schedule. So it's an opponent scout because now D.R. King's not playing for them anymore, so you see what Van Dyke can do for Miami at quarterback. And then you look at the lines of scrimmage for NC State. Are they truly as dominant as the advanced metrics would suggest that they are, relative to ACC competition, of course?
Yeah, I want to see what Kenny Pickett does against Clemson's defense. This is the main game in the ACC, not named us. I want to see, because they are still really nasty, Clemson's defense is. So what happens? What do we get in this game? Now, of course, Tom, as we all know, every Saturday and every game has the possibility of being very interesting if you'd like it to be. I'll give you a perfect example of that, maybe even an extreme example of that. I'm curious, noon kickoff, Oklahoma-Kansas, Tom. Very, very interested in that game.
I forgot about that game.
As you might guess, I'm interested in that game.
It's because it's forgettable.
39 points that I'm giving up in that game. So, you know, there's that. This is pretty This is the craziest. The only time that I've ever said that I feel very comfortable laying 39 points is this weekend.
Ever?
I mean,
2013 Florida State?
No, I mean, 39 is a lot to give up. 39. You're waiting to get backdoored.
Could almost cover that against NC State in the first quarter back in 13.
You could. But I don't remember being maybe a non-Florida State team. This is the most comfortable I've ever been. So think about this. Kansas is the 128th pass efficiency defense in the country. And it's really, really, I mean, every aspect of what that is ugly. And you've got Caleb Williams starting to feel very good about what he is in that Oklahoma offense. That 39 could be covered in the first half. You just have to buckle up for a second half.
Should you play him first half instead?
No, I just played the 39. Because of the consistency with which I've won that bet, I just decided don't buck the trend. I know why you think that, and it would be smart to do that. And I could hedge by doing something like that, but I ended up saying, all right, I bet against Kansas every week of the season.
Right, stay the course.
Just stay the course until they get to a number that you can't right. justify. Right. Oh, I got to get 58 this week? I don't think I'm going to get 58 this week. Like, if something like that happens, then I'll probably go away. But, I mean, 39, that wasn't too rich. It is the old game. Would you do that for $1,000? How about $999? Yeah, I'm doing that. That's what I'm doing right now. I want to see what it is the next time. If Oklahoma wins 70-10, what do you think Vegas makes that number, you know, against anybody else from the rest? Kansas is just the gift that keeps on giving. It's beautiful. All right. Hopefully I continue to dominate Mom with the picks. That'll be coming up relatively soon. We got a little time yet. It's Jeff Cameron, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I did notice that our mutual friend Manny, last hour when I was talking about Mike Evans, completed the sentence and said, I'll say what you wanted to say about his hands.
Well, did he on Twitter?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then he showed me the 2.7 points that Evans had, 2 catches, 4 attempts against the Eagles. He's like, that hurts your feelings, right? Oh, that makes me laugh. Yeah, it's funny how angry you can get and how personally angry you can get at certain players and even realizing that you're being a fool.
He can evoke that. The one thing that always annoyed me about Mike, and he's a really good player, so we're nitpicking a career that is built for Canton if it continues for another few years.
Sure.
When he hits the ground, he hits the ground harder than anybody I've ever seen in my life. Like the impact when body meets grass always requires him to come up and leave for a play. I'm like, God, learn how to fall, man.
Yeah, you're an athlete.
It's like watching a quarterback who doesn't know how to slide. I'm like, you got to go somewhere out to a field one day. Hire a couple of baseball players. They'll teach you. It'll take 10 minutes. You're athletic enough. You can do it. These guys that can't slide a quarterback drive me nuts. And Mike, man, when he hits the ground, it's like, bam. I'm like, dude, this ain't concrete.
Yeah, you're going to hurt.
You're making it look like concrete.
Yeah. I also had somebody bring up that yesterday on the show, I said that it seems like certainly there are whispers. Maybe there's smoke. I don't know if the fire's there, but that Miami is kicking the tires at the idea of bringing in Deshaun Watson. And a friend of ours said, am I wrong to think that you'd be giving up on Tua way too fast here? Even if Watson is cleared and available for the 2022 season, he hasn't even played a full schedule, talking about Tua, would you give up on him already? And I was inclined to say that I would lean in that direction so long as the off-the-field stuff gets taken care of with Deshaun Watson. If you're asking me about the two, I'm taking Deshaun, proven product. As far as what Tua will be moving forward, his point was, he's like, man, I think he has the arm strength, enough arm and athleticism. I think what gets lost here is the athleticism isn't what it was at Alabama. That hip injury did some real damage. He looks ordinary when he breaks the pocket.
Yeah, wasn't he cloak and dagger about that before he was drafted too? Like the disclosure of the imaging and having the NFL doctors take a look at him. He said, no, only my doctor. Something like that was happening. I remember where if it wasn't a COVID year, he would have been poked and prodded as these players are at the combine very, very closely. Then you've got the history of last year where clearly Ryan Fitzpatrick should have been quarterback down the stretch, and they played Tua anyway to the point where it was kind of a joke before the game started.
That didn't help him in the court of public opinion because the Dolphins had an outside chance to make the playoffs,
they did.
And then you're playing him, and he's a check down Charlie, and you're like, ugh, yeah.
And then this year, what I'm saying is they've got enough information behind the scenes where they're like, we got to sell high on this dude, and this is as high as his stock is going to be, so let's make a splash now. I don't think they're making an uninformed choice.
If that's the choice they make. We don't know.
They're not refuting that these talks are happening, though, is my point. So,
well, if you, again, we don't know what's going to happen legally with Deshaun Watson, but if you can get him, I'd go ahead and do that.
If you can get an eligible Deshaun Watson,
If I know that I'm going to get Deshaun Watson, he's able to play, and there's no chance he's going to the pokey. He's not heading off to the big house.
And you're not talking about Ontario Wilson's house.
No, man. I'm doing it. The other night, and I didn't mention this on yesterday's show, this is so cool, and I did talk about it in the first hour really quick because we're going to cut out here so we make room for Mom to get in here and we get our wagers in. But Devin Vassell scored 19 points. You see, he was 8 of 12. He had 19 points, 2 boards, 5 assists, 2 steals, and 25 minutes off the bench.
Okay. All right. That's highly efficient. We
there
like
you go,
that.
Devin. Scotty Barnes scored 12 points, 9 boards, an assist, a steal in 33 minutes as a starter against the Raptors and a home loss to the Washington Wizards. Did you know that?
I had no idea. Now, I know Scotty has been lighting it up in the preseason. I remember seeing some highlights of coast-to-coast plays and rejections, dunks, things like that.
He's also turning the ball over too much. He turned it over 6 times in that game, so we're going to – I can't
– He's still a teenager, isn't he?
Yeah.
Or is he 20,
well,
barely?
Yeah, he's young. Malik Beasley, good to see he's back. I'd like him to get right whatever's wrong with him. The off-field stuff is – off-the-court stuff has been troubling, but he had 9 points on 4 of 8 shooting, had a board, 4 assists, 2 steals, 2 block shots, 21 minutes off the bench in Minnesota's win against Houston. Patrick Williams returning now from that preseason ankle injury. He did struggle, but 6 points and a board in 28 minutes for Chicago. And Trent Forrest did not play in Utah's game against OKC. So, all right. Everywhere we look, I brought up Terrence Mann. Everywhere I look, man, I'm like, there's an O. Really cool. Never in my lifetime of covering Florida State and before did I see this many NBA guys just, you know, flipping around the dial.
We may have a couple more on the roster this year.
I know. It's just cool. We got so used to it in football, like any given weekend, you could flip around. You're like, well, there's an old, big ones, you know, like really talented guys, like superstars, even in the NFL. Couldn't do that. I mean, you did have Sam Cassell and Bob Sur in the NBA at the same time, and you're like, oh, that's cool, but this many guys, and we're just churning them out left and right? Does the heart good to flip around?
Get Down or Lay Down wants to know it already. I guess we're going to have to consider and learn a little bit more during exhibition season. Mm. But he's asking you over under 20 and a half wins this season.
So I am...
Got to define your terms, too. Regular season, tournaments included. Uh-huh. He's probably talking about regular season would be my guess.
I'm not going to make that prediction just yet, Get Down or Lay Down. I'm going to... I'm scheduled to meet up with Coach Hamm and the guys next week, so I will have a better sense when I get it from the coach's mouth. Hamm's a straight shooter. He'll tell you, like, oh, early we're going to struggle. We've got some guys we're going to try to work with here, but it's going to take some time. Other times he's emboldened. He'll say, listen, I like us from Jump Street. I feel good about what we are, but I need to know. I need to know that. I need to hear from the man himself.
corner of Jump Street and Junkyard Dog Lane.
All right, Mama, come get your whooping. That's next. Chef Cameron Show 93.3. Oh, before we go to break, let me remind everybody. Today, happy hour is happening at the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. Myself, Corey Clark, War Chant Happy Hour show we do every Friday for home weekends, I should say, at Corner Pocket. So we'll be there. Looking forward to it very much so. And it's kind of really the official start to the weekend. So if you're in town, you want to swing on by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill, we will be there live at 5 o'clock.
There are a couple of similar-sounding bars in town to Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. That's 2475 Appalachian Parkway. It's the one on the parkway, Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. Make sure that's the one you go to. Otherwise, you'll say, where is everybody?
Yep. We're going to be there. Myself, Corey Clark. I'm going to have ourselves a tall, cold beer. Get this weekend started right. They've also got really good food there. So if you're hungry, don't think that, oh, well, I can't go to Corner Pocket. No,
right.
No, they got great
food.
That's
just bar food. No, it's not.
No, really good.
No, it's not. I dare you.
Yeah, it's really good food. All right, Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Listen up, everybody. We've told you a bunch about the greatness that is Xfinity's in-home internet quality, the greatness that is Xfinity's hotspots, internet hotspots throughout Tallahassee and throughout the country. But now they've got a flash sale this weekend. If you want to combine the best internet service in the country with the most inexpensive and customer-friendly mobile service in the country, Xfinity has you covered. Listen to these awesome details about this weekend's sale. Starting today, for 3 days only, get $300 off select phones. Plus, get an extra $100 back with qualifying trade-in only when you visit your local Xfinity store. Offer ends this Sunday, 10/24. At your local Xfinity store, the Switch Squad makes switching to Xfinity Mobile fast and easy. They will help you find the best data options while saving you up to $400 a year on your wireless bill. Visit us in store today or go to XfinityStores.com to book an appointment at a time most convenient for you. Compares pricing to top carriers. Xfinity Internet required. Offer ends 10/24/21. Requires purchase of a new phone with qualifying trade-in. Other restrictions apply.
That's good on a Libations Friday. That makes me want to have a beer. Lots of things do. Opening my eyes.
Breathing.
Being alive. Yeah. But some things more than others. That's all I'm saying.
Boy, it's not 90 degrees out today.
Makes me want to have a beer.
It's time for a beer. Yeah. Oh, my God. It's 105.
Gotta have a beer.
I need a nice little beer.
Oh, man, looks like I got to run up to the hardware store. Going to have to drink a beer. Oh, man, let's see here. I think how many games did we have different last week? Two.
Two. Mm-hmm.
Did I win them both?
Nope.
Split.
You had Cincinnati over Detroit. And,
good pick.
She played Arizona over Cleveland.
Yeah. I didn't realize how banged up Cleveland was. If I had known that...
Realized it within a quarter.
Yeah, and if I had known that the quarterback Baker was damaged goods,
he had the shoulder shakes.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done it. That's all right. Go ahead and cue it up. We'll bring Mama on here in a second.
And now for another edition of the Family Pick, Nick.
Go to your room,
Ma. The meatloaf.
Take it away, Jeffrey.
Hey, Mama, how are you?
I'm doing good. You know, I love my music. I just, every time I hear that song, it just makes me just excited. I love AC/DC.
I know you do. You always did. So, by the way, I was looking here. I'm going to need honesty out of you, and not that you have a history of not being honest with me, but I'm kind of curious. Who did you take last night? I did take Cleveland begrudgingly, but did you?
I know. And listen, let me tell you something. I did too, but I didn't even know the game was on, and I also didn't know that Baker Mayfield was so banged up. I knew he had a hurt shoulder, but I don't know that I would have picked him if I had realized that. I think I might have. Picked who I don't even know who are they playing?
Denver,
yeah. But anyway, I did take Cleveland.
I did too. So we're on the same page there, and we eked out a 17-14 win.
We did eke at it. Case Keenum, who would have thought? I'm telling you.
So that's four. Am I still up four then? Yeah, that's what I am.
We split last week, so I think you were up four, so we stayed the same.
Your hunch on Detroit was a little off, Mom.
I know, but, you know, I really did think that was good logic, but I tell you, they were terrible. I mean, it wasn't even close, so I do still want them to win a game, though. I still really...
Oh, they'll win it. No, they're competitive. They'll win a game.
I hope so.
By the way, just don't look now, everybody, but Cincinnati's 4-2, and Joe Burrow's really good, and Chase is really good. Like, that's kind of a squad. Mixon's good. I mean, they're a kind of a good team. It's a fun team to watch. All right, here we go, Mom. Okay. Panthers to Giants. Ugh.
Yeah, that's a terrible game. I took Carolina.
Begrudgingly, I will, too. I don't know. They could lose. I don't think they're any good at all. But
well, there's several games like that this week when I'm looking at them. I'm like, well, you know, you start overthinking it. So anyway, I was like, oh, what the heck. Here's what I'm doing.
Jets at the Patriots.
Yeah, I'm taking the Patriots.
Chiefs at the Titans.
This game really, really concerns me. I love Derrick Henry. He might be, besides my Bucs players, my most favorite player in the NFL.
Well, he's a badass.
Oh, my God. I love him so much. And you know what I love about him is he just runs over people and then just gets in the end zone, and then he doesn't get up and do all kinds of crazy stuff. He just puts the ball down and walks back to the huddle.
Well, I don't care about that. I like that he just embarrasses and humiliates people calmly is what I think you're saying. It's just so – it's ruthless. It's so
– unbelievable.
Yeah, it's just like, get you some. Yeah.
I just love him. But anyway, back to the game. I don't know whether to pick Derrick Henry or to pick Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
I kind of think that's what it is. But I took Kansas City. I just feel like Patrick is going to have a really good game, and I don't know if Derrick can do it all.
I'm going to take the Titans.
I kind of thought you might.
I think Derrick will run down the throat of the Kansas City Chiefs. And until this defense can get fixed, I have a hard time picking the Chiefs in games against relatively competitive teams. Listen, Patrick Mahomes can beat any team in the league on a given Sunday. He's that kind of special, and he's got weapons galore. So you never know. They could win a game 41-38, something like that. But I do feel like that the Titans are going to play keep away. They're going to run the ball. And I don't know that the Chiefs are equipped right now defensively to stop them from running the ball. I mean, the whole world knows that Derrick Henry is going to get the ball 30 times, but nobody seems to stop it.
I was going to say, it doesn't seem to matter. They do know he's going to get the ball. And that was my thinking. I mean, I went back and forth on this a bunch of times. And they're playing at Tennessee, I think.
They are, yes.
That also, I think, figures into it. But anyway, that may be a loss, but I've got my initial by Kansas City, so I'm sticking with it.
Kind of feels like a toss-up game. Washington's at Green Bay.
Yeah, I'm taking Green Bay.
The Falcons are at the Dolphins.
I'm taking Miami. Poor Atlanta. They just, I don't know. I hope, and they're at Miami, so I took Miami.
I think I'm going to take the Falcons. These two teams are both garbage, but the Dolphins have just let me down to no end, and the Dolphins just got done losing to Jacksonville.
I don't usually pick them.
Yeah, I can't do it. They just lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I can't. Give me the Falcons. All right, so we've got two different so far. Bengals at Ravens. Good game.
Yeah, I took Baltimore. I agree Cincinnati is doing pretty well, but I just think Baltimore's a little too much.
Yeah, I agree. Lions at the Rams, not a competitive game.
No, I took the Rams.
Eagles at Raiders.
This game is another one that is concerning to me. I thought that the Raiders would lose last week, and they didn't. And so I don't know. Philadelphia is suspect, so I took Vegas.
Yeah, I took Vegas, too. Philadelphia's suspect, as in they suck. The Texans at the Cardinals.
I'm taking the Cardinals.
Yeah, it's a pretty easy pick. Bears and Bucks, half our team is injured.
I know. This game does worry me, too, I tell you. I don't know if we're ever going to get healthy. Every week we have somebody else that goes down. It's just aggravating. And I don't know, did I hear you say or somebody say that I know Gronk's not going to play.
Antonio Brown's not going to play. Gronk's not going to play. Levante David's not going to play. We already knew Richard Sherman was out. We've got some other guys with injuries as well, but those are starters that are guaranteed not to play.
Yeah, but then there's somebody that came back, Antoine Winfield.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, he cleared concussion protocol. Did they say he's playing for sure? I don't know. He's cleared, but I don't know if he's going to play.
Okay, well, surely he will. They need every good body they have at this point. I took Tampa Bay. I think it may be close, but I think hopefully Tom will pull us through.
Yeah, I took Tampa Bay as well. Colts at 49ers?
Yeah, this game, I took the 49ers, but I think it could be close.
Oddly, I think it's kind of a compelling game. I took the 49ers too, but I wouldn't be surprised for this to come down to the wire in the fourth quarter. Saints are at the Seahawks on Monday Night Football.
I know. Now, you know, I really thought, you know, Seattle almost won that game last week with, what's his name, Geno, right?
Mm-hmm, Geno Smith, yeah.
And I don't know. New Orleans worries me because you never know for sure what Jameis is going to do. And that playing in Seattle is difficult. So I took Seattle. It may be my upset special of the week.
I'm going to go ahead and take the Saints, and we're going to have another game different there. But yeah, I mean, it's not like I'm emboldened to take the Saints. I can't bet on Geno Smith to win the game for the Seahawks. So I'll go with the Saints. And I think, is that three? We got three different, Mama?
We do. We have the Tennessee-Kansas City game, Miami-Atlanta, and this New Orleans-Seattle game.
Feels like a sweep in favor of me.
Smoke. No. I need to win at least two of them.
Not going to happen, Mom. You're going to be in a huge ditch. You're going to be...
I'm going to run off the road. No. I have confidence in at least one of my picks.
I love you, Mama. I'll talk to you soon.
Oh, my goodness. I love you, too. I think you guys are going to have a runaway this weekend, hopefully.
That is correct. That'll be three straight wins. We're on a roll.
You're on a roll.
Yep. It's a beautiful thing.
All right. You guys have fun. I love you.
Love you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. So there you go. I feel good about my picks on these ones. I think Mom's in trouble this weekend.
They look good. It's the NFL, though.
Correct.
The one thing about the Tennessee game is it's a short week for them. So that would be in my math.
Good call. I just could just see them deciding to simplify, which is what I would do every week, and just say, look, as long as I have this elite battering ram, who, by the way, top end gets up to 22, 23 miles per hour. That is the scariest damn thing on earth.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's why I saw something this week, you know, remarking on how safeties are just getting clowned and put on posters. And one of the responses was, if Derrick Henry's at full speed, if you get him on the ground, it doesn't matter if you look like you're a chalk outline.
You got him on the ground.
You got him on the ground. You should actually be proud of being on the poster if he fell after the snapshot was taken.
There's a few players in NFL history that I remember thinking, especially after I started playing football in pads, you start, you know, having to tackle people. I remember looking back, and before I played football, I would laugh at guys that got run over. After I played football, I'm like, man, it happens.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, like, there are some dudes out there that can get low and are strong as hell, and it's just, what are you going to do? And Derrick Henry, so like Christian Okoye used to do that to people. We know Mike Allstott used to just, oh my God, obliterate people.
Yeah.
And it's not like Mike Allstott was slow. When he got to the second level, like, you had problems. And there have been other big backs. Barry Word, by the way, was an underrated big back who I used to love watching run football. But obviously, I'm old enough, Tom. You are not.
I have no idea who that is.
Well, he was
Barry Word?
Yeah, he was with Kansas City. He was a good player.
WORD.
You go look him up.
That's cool.
Natron Means was a good runner.
Natron Means.
Yeah, that's a great name, too, by the way. Yeah. Yep. So he was a stud. But I'm old enough to remember. I know. Here we go. Here's where I reveal it.
Y.A. Tittle.
No, but I saw the end of Larry Zonka's career.
He was Y.A. titillating to watch.
Yeah, I watched Larry Zonka, John Riggins.
you watched Larry Zonka.
I did.
I watched Larry Zonka on American Gladiators.
Yeah.
That's where I watched Larry Zonka.
I saw
Zonka.
Larry Zonka, the end of Larry Zonka's career. I also saw, I mentioned Christian Okoye, the Nigerian nightmare. He was something to watch. But, yeah, so anytime I would see guys get run over by, you know, like we're talking about Allstott, if you're a safety and you weigh, back then, 200 pounds and 250 gets past the second level, we got problems, man.
There are times that when we're going through things and watching games, you can't see that it's going to look ridiculous in the future. Like, for example, PGA Tour in the 90s, the polo shirts that come down to your wrists, short sleeve polo shirts that come down to your wrists,
right.
The baggy look.
Right.
At the time, I didn't know anything. Now you look back, you go, oh my God, Hal Sutton. Is that like a 6XL?
Yeah, what are you wearing?
And in those days, it was probably just a normal XL.
Yeah,
that was the cut.
Yeah.
the one thing I thought in the moment as I was growing up watching Mike Allstott is, why does he have a beach umbrella for shoulder pads? Those things are the most ridiculous shoulder pads I've ever seen.
And he didn't need them because he was every bit of 250 pounds. I've told this story a lot over the years. It's Libations Friday. Tom knows this one. He laughs about it. It goes back a ways. I went up to Chicago with my buddy who's in town this weekend with his wife and beautiful kids. He's a lifelong Bears fan. Obviously, I'm a lifelong Bucks fan. We go up to Chicago in December. Brian Griese's the starting quarterback for the Bucks.
I remember this game.
It went to overtime. It was freezing cold, 19 degrees.
We had a super long touchdown in that game.
Yes, we did. It was 19 degrees, snow on the ground. I had always wanted to go to Soldier Field for a cold weather game. I'd been to Soldier Field, but never for a cold weather game. So when I saw the Bucks were playing in Chicago in December, I was like, oh, this is going to be it. This is going to be the one. And Christy went with me. We had a great – I wore my Bucks leather jacket, got props from the Bears fan behind me, bought me a beer because I was man enough to fly from Florida and sit in the stands for a Bucks-Bears game in the dead of winter.
One of five times you could use that jacket.
That's right. And I've still had that jacket. Christy gets mad every year when we do the house cleaning. Why do we have this jacket? It's a jacket you'd wear in Alaska. Why do you have this jacket?
Right.
Because it's who else has a kick-ass leather Buccaneers jacket?
Yeah, to which you want to reply, are we talking about the garage now?
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Right.
I can see how the dynamics of giving stuff away in your house. I got it down pat now.
Well, I don't ask anymore. I just give stuff away. And then I told you.
That jacket's going to disappear. You better hide it. You better hide it. Retribution's a thing.
So I went to that game, had a blast. It was an awesome time. And we sit down. I did not, Preston. That's funny, by the way. Very well played it by you. I went down on to the sidelines. You didn't go onto the field. We were like right by there during warm-ups. We got there early. And Mike Allstott was standing on the side right where we were, and he was stretching. So this gets a little weird, but he stands up and he's got his helmet off and he's staring out at the field and we're behind him.
He's got the frosted tips.
And I said to Matt, that is the biggest, most muscly ass I have ever seen on a human being. His ass muscles, each cheek must have weighed 35 pounds. I mean, it was crazy. Each butt cheek, they're huge. I remember wanting, just for experimentation, to see if I could get my...
Whoa.
I wanted to see if I could physically get my arms around his ass cheeks to tackle him. Like, just to see... I remember thinking, I wonder if, given the chance, could I even tackle him? He's the biggest, muscliest ass you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah. Given the skit that SNL this is from with Farley, I think that's an appropriate gif for this story.
I couldn't believe it. And so it was funny because he was laughing. He's like, dude. I'm like, seriously, look at I can't stop staring at it. It's the biggest thing I've ever seen. Who has an ass the size of Kentucky? It's unbelievable. And so I just, from that point forward, I always felt really bad for members of the secondary, corners, safeties. That dude comes through, linebacker gets sealed, it's coming downhill, you know, you're 15 yards, 17 yards away from the ball,
and your
linebacker gets blocked.
Right.
And here comes that Mack truck.
And Captain America's shield is smaller than his shoulder pads. So you're just going to take a blunt force object.
And he got low, man. He could get low.
Oh, I know.
And I'm like...
He had to have the grip strength, too, because he would balance himself with, like, his pinky.
It was crazy.
He'd be falling, and he'd put, like, one finger down, and he'd stay up while he's falling, and the next thing you know, it's another 30 yards.
I just remember thinking, well, what are you going to do with that? So I no longer made fun of guys who, my hammy. Sniper got me.
Yeah, or like Fournette when he was in college, the guy from Auburn who jumped over him. We were in Boston for that one.
Yeah, no bueno. He's like, I want no part.
The guy's like, whee!
Yeah, I want no part. I'm going to look like I'm trying really hard, but I want no part of this tackle.
I'm going to hurdle you.
Woo! I mean, that's a big man. What are you going to do? We'll come back, wrap it up momentarily.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Probables brought to you by North Florida Payroll Services, locally owned for nearly 15 years, offering payroll and HR services, including full online applicant onboarding and integration into payroll. Save your company money and headaches today. Head to NorthFloridaPayroll.com. Cue it up.
It's time for, how you say, with the pitching, probables?
All right, Nathan Evaldi, we'll need you. I need you to handle your business. Evaldi, by the way, I'm always reminded of this. Two things about Nathan Evaldi. He was both a Florida Marlin, Miami Marlin now, and Tampa Bay Ray. Both teams could use Nathan Evaldi.
Yeah, and he was good for Tampa.
He was really good for like a minute. They should have probably held on to him. Anyhow, he's got the task tonight to keep Boston alive and get a win here at Minute Maid Park in Houston, where Luis Garcia will be his opponent on the bump for the Astros, who lead the series 3-2. The cheaters that are the Astros could be off to the World Series yet again. Nobody needs that. Come on, guys. And then, just because, I know we'll all be nervous. Tomorrow, Max Scherzer, kind of feel like he'll show up.
Ooh-wee. Mm-hmm. He knows that ballpark.
Yes, he is on his way along with the Dodgers to Atlanta. Truist Park, let's go, Truist. Get loud, get right. Ian Anderson, I need you. Or else we're going to Game 7, and I can feel it. I can feel Braves fans going, oh, man.
We want to hear you from the Omni in deep right field.
And that is a look at those that shall reside on the bump. Yeah, that is that's something. Don't lose Game 6, Atlanta. Just go ahead and do what you got to do here. No pussyfooting. None of that nonsense. You get it together. Close it out.
How about half-stepping?
No half-stepping, no pussyfooting. No beating around the bush. Let's go make it happen.
There you go. That's a good addition. I like that one. That's a good one.
Make it happen. I can't believe the Braves have somehow got me into a place where I'm nervous for them. Where I'm like, come on, let's get it together.
Yeah, that's odd. There's been an attachment. You guys are going to do an Atlanta Braves talk show for an hour at the CP later.
That's not true. I will gauge Corey's mood. He's a fatalist. You know, he's a fatalist, so he's already believing that they've lost the season.
It's over. Yeah. Quote unquote.
And it's gone. Yeah, that's him right now in terms of hope. That's his feeling, I'm sure. But I don't feel that way. Let's go ahead and knock it out. Let's get it done. Let's get that win. Let's move it on, Big River. You know, in addition to the college football slate being the NFL slate this weekend.
Yeah, you've got Baltimore, Cincinnati, Kansas City, Tennessee.
That's it. Whole lot of nothing.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean we won't see some compelling games, but, I mean, there are some games on this schedule this weekend where you're like, ooh, that's not a good look. NFL, Jets, Patriots, Falcons, Dolphins, Lions, Rams.
We got to kick the YouTubers down the hill in just a second here because we got to play the song on Friday. But our pal from Buffalo, Tom, is asking a question. He's asked us a few times now about the tight ends.
We've got way too many of them, Tom. I agree with you. I know why. Mike's offense, he really, really values tight ends. But here's where I'm going to agree with you, Tom. And I'll address more of this on Monday because I didn't get to your question here. Partly because of the kind of offense he wants to run, which we're not able to run just yet. But to your point, a lot of those tight ends are butt sorry. So it is maddening when you see some of those kids. You're like, he's not a Florida State caliber player, and he's on scholarship here. And that guy isn't either, and either is that guy or that guy. It is troubling.
Do you still believe in Jackson West?
Yeah, it's just he's not coming along as quickly as I had hoped. He'll fight you.
He apparently won't block you, though, because if he did, then he'd be out there.
He'd have to be out there.
Maybe we get to see some Jackson West
tomorrow. We should see a lively ass, Tom.
I suppose we should.
I'd like to believe we're going to see a bunch of our backups in this game against UMass, but I'm not going to do the thing. I'm not putting it out there in the ether. I like us to win. You know that.
Yeah,
don't forget this, by the way. Tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., myself, T.
Right
Lizzie,
here.
Right here, 93.3 Real Talk Radio War Chant
TV. Peace, YouTubers.
Yeah, bye, YouTubers. Yeah, we'll be here for the Tallahassee game day. Always look forward to that. It's always fun to do. We'll look at the UMass game, but we'll also look around the college football world. Good work out of you, Tom. Good work, Matthew. Have a great weekend, everybody.